Greetings. I'm Jeff Fall with the Living Church of God. In this series of our Bible study commentary, we will be studying the book of Philippians. Philippi, which was the city of the Philippians, was a city in Macedonia near modern Greece, about 10 miles from the Aegean Sea. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi while he was imprisoned the first time, approximately 59 to 61 AD. This was 10 years after the church in Philippi had been founded by Paul. Apparently, the Philippians were a joy to Paul. He appreciated them and their support and wanted to encourage them to keep the true faith of God and to work together in harmony. This was the most personal letter that Paul had written to the churches in the New Testament era. Let's begin with chapter 1, of course, and verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. Paul mentions that Timothy is with him, and Paul refers to themselves as servants or bond slaves of Jesus Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, of course, it refers to saints, and notice that saints can be living. They were living in Philippi. Saints are not saints just at the point of death. There are living saints. Grace, verse 2, grace to you. Grace is unmerited blessings and favor from God. Grace to you, Paul says, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wishing the Philippians inner peace, that calmness, that mental peace and stability that we all want. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine making a request for you all with joy. Paul was thankful for them, and they were a joy to him. The Philippians weren't a problem like some of the other churches were, and Paul was very thankful for their support. He goes on saying in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Their fellowship in the gospel was their life, not just some abstract theology or one day a week. It was their life together, the way of life. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Once God has begotten us with his Spirit, Hebrews 13:5 tells us, as Paul was speaking, God will never leave us or forsake us once God has begun that process in our life. And this is God's promise to us. But of course, it is possible for us to leave God. But God gives us that assurance that he will never leave us or forsake us. Verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Paul was speaking of his heart, his love for the brethren. And God's spiritual law is summarized by outgoing concern, that is love, fulfilled in the law of God. It goes on in verse 7 saying, inasmuch as both in my chains, Paul was imprisoned in Rome at that time, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. So they were partakers with Paul of the grace of God, of the grace of Jesus Christ. God pours out his forgiveness, that is even undeserved forgiveness, and his Spirit, and the undeserved blessing eventually of eternal life. Verse 8, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. So Paul had a very strong emotional bond with the Philippians, and he had affection for them. Verse 9, in this I pray, that your love may be abound. Paul's prayer for them included 7 requests. He said that your love may abound, fulfillment of God's spiritual law, that is, their love, outgoing concern for God and for their brethren and for all humanity, still more and more in knowledge. That knowledge of God's way of life and God's spiritual laws is the foundation of God's way of life. And in all discernment, that discernment is a mindset that goes far deeper than just simply the superficial. Verse 10, and that you may approve the things that are excellent. In other words, prioritize correctly your life. The things that are excellent and without offense, not harming or offending others, that you may be sincere, wholehearted, or genuine, and without offense till the day of Christ Jesus. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, that is obedience to God, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul's imprisonment was the door to spreading God's word through the Roman court and that area of the world. Verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Instead of wallowing in self-pity, Paul knew that God was working it all out for his purpose, for God's purpose. Paul knew well his own words found in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Others were inspired by Paul's example. He was in chains, yet he was enthused with the chance to do the work of God. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife. There were two types of ministry that were extant at that time. Some preached Christ even from envy and strife. Some were trying to inflate their own egos and to be somebody. And some also from goodwill. And others were truly motivated to do the will of God. Verse 16, the former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. Some were really motivated by personal gain, especially their own prestige. They sought to increase their influence and stature while Paul apparently was imprisoned. Verse 17, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The true servants of God, they work from the basis of love, from outgoing concern. Verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. In this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Those pretending to preach from outgoing love and concern must have at least fulfilled the overall message. Verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It will all work out for the good. Repeating again Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul was so confident in God's purpose that he was determined to honor God even in his death, if he were to die. In Paul's mind, there was no doubt about his future resurrection at Christ's return. It was real to him. Verse 21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul had true vision. He knew that if he died at the very next moment of his consciousness, he would be resurrected in the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. There would be additional work accomplished if Paul was to live, and he wasn't sure what the answer would be from God, but he was willing to live on and to accomplish more of God's purpose. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul referred to departing this life and being with Christ. What did he mean by this, to depart this life, to be with Christ? Well, we find in many other scriptures, including Ecclesiastes 9:5, it states that the dead know nothing. At the moment of their death, they lose consciousness. And Christ clarified this when he said, no one has ascended to heaven. In John 3:13, not Abraham, not Isaac, not David, or any of the prophets. No one has ascended to heaven. They are dead and buried to this day. Clearly, the dead are still in the grave after death, and Paul recognized that at the next moment of his consciousness after dying, he would be resurrected with Christ at his return. Verse 24, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul knew that the Philippians still needed his guidance and his concern and his teaching. Verse 25, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, and that your teaching for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Paul hoped to visit the Philippians again one more time, if God was willing. Verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, also that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you may stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One spirit, one mind, striving together. Unity is so crucial to the church of God, to the people of God in God's sight. And not in any way terrified, verse 28, by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. The Philippians' fearlessness was proof, or it was a sign to their adversaries, of their adversaries' eventual destruction and downfall. And that same fearlessness was also a clear sign of the Philippians' ultimate success and salvation. God was with them. Verse 29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Being tested and tried refines our character, prepares us for God's family. Paul also said in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Of course, Paul was referring to eventual resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 30, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Paul and the Philippians at Philippi, they had the same conflict. They had the same spiritual battle that we all have. And you know, life can be a struggle, but God promises the victory if we stick with him and we remain faithful throughout life. We'll continue with chapter 2 in the next segment.